Absolutely.
Okay, buddy.
Hello, everyone. I would like to call to order the February 1st meeting of the Finance Committee. First item is the approval of the minutes of the January 4th meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the next agenda item is for anyone in the audience that would be interested in making any public comments. Do we have any at this time? All right. Next is employee recognition.
Yes, sir. It's my pleasure to recognize Frankie Pettit as our Employee of the Month. Frankie, if you would come up here, please. Frankie's been with the town just over 2 years, and during that time, he's shown himself to be a valuable member of the town team. He's our GIS manager and heads up the GIS team. Under his direction and leadership, here are a few of the accomplishments Frankie and his team have done. The GIS application CityWorks has been deployed across departments. Crisis Track was rolled out for damage assessment. He developed apps for field use, live time, for street signs, for roll cart distribution, for encroachment permits. He supported our FEMA grant application at Edwards Park Old Village Drainage, and his work will make our application very much more competitive. Over and over again, Frankie has made great strides in gaining operational improvement and efficiencies for the town. Even prior to working with the town, Frankie began volunteering with the fire department. He would frequently respond after hours to large fires to resupply equipment and set up the rehabilitation section. He has produced heat maps indicating jurisdictional call volume, response times, and apparatus distribution. This year, he assisted with rebuilding the town's fire hydrant tracking database. Frankie worked late on several occasions to help design a digital printout of the layout of the light towers for the Christmas parade that each crew truck got last year. It was the shortest response time ever for the parade because of Frankie's work. And I guess that's a good thing, as he was our Santa Claus for the last 2 years. When other departments were asked about Frankie and the work done for the town, my favorite comment and most appropriate was, and I quote, "My favorite and arguably most influential thing that Frankie has done is not his list of accomplishments. It's his attitude and personality. Frankie realizes he has the tools to help every department and enthusiastically works with everyone at every level to support and achieve what they want from GIS. Frankie is so positive and optimistic that every time you leave a meeting with Frankie, you feel like you're making a difference. That is no accident. That is a direct result of his enthusiasm and outstanding work ethic. Frankie works harder than anyone I know, and in his field of work, it's all for the success of others. That's what makes him a behind-the-scenes hero." Thank you, Frankie.
Pretty good accomplishment.
Yeah, Frankie made sure he told me that he attributes all of this success to his high school algebra teacher.
That's very true.
Yes. Which was my wife. It was not me. Thank you, Frankie. Thanks. Okay, the next agenda item is the presentation of the Town of Mount Pleasant Fiscal Year 2020 Independent Audit. And I see Emily back again this year.
Yes, sir. This is Emily Sobchak. She's one of the partners with Green Finney and our independent external auditor.
All right. Hello, everyone. I am Emily Sobchak. I'm the partner for the town's financial statement audit, and I'm here to present the results of the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2020. We'll jump right in. We do like to remind you that when it comes to the audit, most of the hard work is done by the town. And so the town is responsible for the numbers and the disclosures included in that CAFRA report. And it's the hard work that they're doing throughout the year that gets to that final product at year end. One important aspect of the town's responsibility is to ensure that the policies and procedures in place are best addressing the risks that the town is facing. And the town has done an excellent job over the years of continuously reviewing the policies and procedures, considering if things are being done in the most efficient and effective way. And so we encourage you to just continue doing what you're doing and doing that risk assessment throughout each year. So our responsibility as your auditor is to audit the financial information provided and issue an opinion based on our audit. This year we did issue an unmodified opinion, so that's great news. That's the best opinion that the town can receive, and that opinion provides reasonable assurance that the financial statements are materially correct. So as we've talked about in the past, it's always important to keep in mind that a financial statement audit does not involve us looking at every single transaction that occurred during the year. That, of course, would take far too much time, but we do use some professional judgment in determining which transactions we reviewed during our audit process. So looking at your financial results, the general fund had an increase in fund balance of $5.8 million, bringing total fund balance to $47.3 million as of June 30th. Included in that $47 million is $2 million committed for disaster recovery, so that's internally committed by council. And then you also have $4.3 million that's assigned for the fiscal 2021 budget, so again, approved by council through the budget process. And so if we take out those amounts, we're left with your unassigned fund balance of $41 million. So that's the amount that's available for future operations. That unassigned fund balance represents about 53% of your fiscal 2021 budgeted expenditures. And so that is in compliance with the town's policy of maintaining at least 25% of operating expenditures in your fund balance. And there are a number of reasons why it is very important that the town maintain a healthy fund balance. One of those reasons is for cash flow purposes. Your most significant revenue source, your property tax revenues, don't start coming in really until January, but we're measuring fund balance at June 30th. And so that means that you've got about 6 months of cash flows to get through before those property tax revenues start coming in. The town has been in a good position with business license revenues typically coming in the middle of the year, but that's set to change in a few years. And so the need for fund balance to help meet those cash flow requirements will just grow even more important over the coming years. Having a healthy fund balance also allows you to get the best interest rates possible when you're issuing debt. And so that, of course, results in direct savings for the town. So let's look at your general fund activity for the year. Your revenues were $83.3 million. That was consistent with the prior year as you saw decreases in your charges for services as well as your intergovernmental revenues, but those decreases were offset by increases in your property tax revenues. You also did 6% better than budgeted. And again, that was primarily in your property tax, property taxes coming in higher than what you had anticipated. On the expenditure side, we had $67.2 million for the fiscal year. That was a decrease of about 11% from the prior year, due primarily to several non-recurring significant expenditures in fiscal 19. You were also about close to $8 million or 10% less than what you had budgeted. And that was due to decreases across the board. Some of that was due to operating expenditures being lower than normal, partly due to the pandemic and things being closed, but in general, conservative spending across departments. So then if we look at all of your governmental funds combined, so looking at the town as a whole, so that would combine your general fund, capital asset fund, your debt service fund, and special revenue funds, we're looking at total revenues and other financing sources of $119.2 million. And expenditures of $118 million. We do note that included in your revenues and other financing sources, of course, is proceeds from debt issuances, which would have only been partially spent during the year. Okay. So next, if we look at your internal service funds, remember these are your health services and insurance management funds that are used to account for costs of your insurance policies, as well as medical and dental costs. These funds both reported increases in net position compared to the prior year. And both of these funds, the net position that they hold, are internally restricted for the purposes of the fund, so for claims and future insurance costs. So your governmental funds, as you know, report current assets and current liabilities. But we also include in the front of your financial statements government-wide statements. And those are your full accrual statements that, in addition to current assets and liabilities, also report long-term assets and obligations. So looking at your capital assets, the town has total capital assets of $559 million as of June 30th. That was an increase of about $14 million compared to the prior year, as your capital additions of $30 million were offset by depreciation expense of $16.5 million. On the long-term obligation side, you had outstanding obligations of $83.7 million as of June 30th. That was a decrease from the prior year, as your debt issuances during the year were offset by scheduled principal payments. Now, in addition to the, you know, more typical long-term debt items outstanding, we also continue to report a net pension liability and net OPEB liability related to your participation in the state retirement system and to your retiree health care plan. So the pension liability, as we've talked about in the past, it's important to remember that this is an actuarial liability. It is an estimate, and it's an estimate that's calculated based on a lot of other estimates. And so while it is a significant number, $64.2 million as of year end, it's not a liability that you're expected to write a check and pay off. What you're expected to do and what you're required to do is to continue to pay the employer contributions as mandated by the state. And so it's very important that you keep in mind that those employer contribution rates have been increasing steadily for many years now and are scheduled to continue to increase in the future years. And so those rates were 15.5% and 18.2% for fiscal year 2020. So that's 15.5% for the state retirement system, 18.2% for the police officers' retirement system. Those rates are scheduled to continue to increase. They were frozen for fiscal 2021 due to the pandemic, but they are scheduled to likely continue increasing in fiscal 2022 and will increase for several more years until we get to rates of 18.5% and 21.2%. And so those increases in your fringe benefit rates will have a significant impact on your operating budget. And so it's important that you keep that in mind as you're going through the budgeting process and considering the effect not only on the next fiscal year, but also for several years to come.
Okay. I wasn't sure if we're waiting till the end to ask questions because I had several along the way, but maybe now's a good time.
I'm fine.
Which is easier? Okay. Just because then you're trying to find a slide or whatever.
Sure.
So just on this one as an example, I just want to make sure I'm sure everybody's hearing all this. So what's happening with this increasing this much is that we're talking about the fact that anybody that you hire, you're looking at just from pension alone, approximately 20% more than their pay in terms of what the town has to do, and that doesn't include everything else. And I also want to ask, these are significant increases.
Yes.
And trying to think, okay, so obviously we know people are living longer, therefore pensions in general are having to last a lot longer, but we also should have seen some increase in the returns in the last 2 years on the pension fund. I'm not suggesting it should be heavily in the stock market, but certainly anybody who's investing, I would think assumptions and everything else are a little higher. So I guess I'm just surprised to see a 3% jump right now.
Sure. So the reason why these increases were put in place is primarily due to historical deficient returns. So for many years, the state retirement system was performing very poorly. And there were some years where returns were actually negative, and that was due to paying significant fees for investment management and not receiving significant returns. And so because those years, over time, that liability, the actuarial liability just was increasing because the amount coming in, both in terms of premiums as well as returns, were not sufficient to meet what was going out, as well as, like you said, sure, the you know, the need for increases due to people living longer and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so these increased contributions are partly trying to make up for those many years when the plan just was not doing well. And so right now the plan is about 60% funded. And so that's kind of middle of the road for you know, states across the country. And the goal with these increases is to try to boost that and increase it.
Okay. And then the other thing, I'm pretty sure the answer, but it is something that is the same across the state, correct?
That's right. Right. Yes. Every participant in the state retirement system has to pay the same contribution rate.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Thank you.
If I can just editorialize here, I think that's a really good comment. And this is something we don't really control this.
Mm-mm. No.
And it's getting worse every single year as people live longer. And this is not the meeting for this, mm-hmm, but with Eric and Marcy's help at some point, talking about what other cities have done to look at how we operate, mm-hmm, that may be able to help that figure. Because it, again, as Emily said, we're 60% funded, which is good. Mm-hmm. But there's other municipalities that are 100% funded right now, and some far less than us. We're in a really good position of how we do it. Mm-hmm. But it's a monster out there that just lurks. That you know, if I was Eric and Marcy, I'd be a little nervous of this number. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's probably, can I add something to that?
Yes, sir.
It's probably one of the number one concerns across the country. I mean, the reality is all these big cities that need bailing out, which we do not, we're in great shape, but it's largely because of things like this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
If I may as well, I heard not last Friday, I think it was the Friday before, that the additional 3% the state pension fund was mandating municipalities on the employer side was held off last year. And I heard last Friday that instead of reinstituting that 3%, they were actually going to make it 6%, ooh, meaning 3% from the year that it was deferred and 3% to stay on track, which was the schedule. So I'm glad we are where we are in form of reserves, because we could be looking at 6% on the pension side.
Yeah.
If you've got a $33 million payroll or so, that starts to add up real, $600,000-$700,000. And not to get too off track, but you mentioned operationally.
Yeah.
This is a critical driver. I mean, we take right now, we have a new municipal court director, Lori, and investing in technology to keep from having to add, as our court expands and there's more and more cases and all that, instead of hire more individuals, is the play. Because we just, at some point, you just can't keep affording to hire new employees because of costs like this.
Right. I see it every day. Mm-hmm. And the way that, not again that this is the time for it, but the way the park and recreation profession is changing, yeah, for that single reason is something that's going to affect all governments in the future, I think.
Yeah.
But we're on it, so that's good. Go ahead, Emily.
Okay, so that was the pension liability, which is, again, out of y'all's control, controlled right by the state. The net OPEB liability is similar in that it's also an estimated actuarial liability, but this is related to the town's retiree health care plan. And so the biggest difference here is that town council has the authority to change and amend the plan terms for the retiree health care plan to determine what types of contributions you're making to pre-fund the plan. And so it is in the town's control. The net OPEB liability was $19.6 million as of June 30th. And that was a decrease of $9.1 million compared to the prior year. And I think that significant decrease that was due only to changes in the estimates that went into the actuarial calculation, I think that highlights the fact that these liabilities, they are truly estimates. Mm-hmm. And just slight changes in the discount rate that's used or in the healthcare cost trend rate, very small changes in those rates can cause significant changes in these estimated liabilities. And so again, while, you know, these estimates are, you know, the best that the actuaries can come up with, they still aren't hard numbers. And so when you look at the plan, it's important to consider what you're actually paying each year in premiums, and, you know, the actual plan terms, the benefits that you're promising.
Can I just ask a question on that too?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I promise not to ask a question on everything. Can we go back to that other page?
Yeah.
We just lost it.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Oh, wait, here we go. Okay, there we go.
This it says primarily as a result of an increase in the estimated discount rate and reduction in the healthcare cost trend. That healthcare cost trend, is that for the town or?
Right.
National?
So, yes. Yeah, so, because we're talking about this plan is just the town's plan. And so,
right,
when the actuaries are looking at the plan, they're looking at the composition of the participants in the plan.
Uh-huh.
And so that would just be town employees and retirees.
So this may be oversimplifying, and I don't know who else sees this. Maybe nobody else sees our committee meetings. But I think it's important to point out, we do have an unbelievable healthcare plan. I mean, it is, maybe it's the best in the country. That might be pushing it a little.
Please don't say that.
But was that, don't say that? Oh.
Okay,
but it's really good. And the reason is because it is all based on preventative, on maintenance, on taking care of your body, on being prepared. And these are the things that would apply to everybody everywhere. And I just hope at some point this message of how well this works and how much we save the taxpayers of this community because of the way our healthcare plan is. I wish everybody could have this healthcare plan.
Through you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
And thank you. In all seriousness, we saw at the retreat the trend line for the town and its healthcare as opposed to the national average is significantly less and translates into, you know, major dollars.
Yeah.
So.
Thank you, Kathy.
Yeah,
go ahead, Emily.
That's a great point. Thank you. All right. So just briefly, I'll highlight, we do have a couple of upcoming accounting standards that will be implemented. The implementation dates for both of these were pushed back a year due to the pandemic. GASB number 84 provides guidance for fiduciary activities. It'll result in some slight changes to how some of your funds are reported for fiscal 2021. Reporting changes only, no changes to the day-to-day accounting for the funds. GASB 87 provides new guidance for leases, and that standard will be implemented for fiscal 2020-22. Okay, so now this is the best part of the presentation, not all the numbers, but this is where we get to talk about what great staff y'all have, what great people you have at the town. We did a single audit this year. That's the additional compliance audit that's required when you have federal expenditures of over $750,000. And that's been required for the past several years. We looked at primarily the FEMA funds because those were the most significant federal dollars that you had, and no findings, no significant concerns to report there. And the same goes for the financial statement audit. No findings to report, no significant deficiencies or material weaknesses. And that is purely a reflection of Marcy and her team and all of their hard work. And given that they had to go through a software conversion in the middle of a pandemic, I know this year worked harder than ever. And you know, having this clean report card really speaks to their excellence. And they're always such a pleasure to work with. And we really appreciate that. And I know that y'all really appreciate all the hard work they do throughout the year in making sure that things are done the right way. So, yes. And that's also reflected in the management letter. We issue a management letter every year because it includes some required communications from us to council and to management. But that's also a place where if we had any significant concerns that didn't quite rise to the level of a finding or any recommendations for improvement that we wanted to put in writing, we could put them here. But the town, you know, we have frequent communications throughout the year. And anytime we have a recommendation or, you know, most of the time it's them coming to us saying, okay, we're thinking about doing something. Do you think this is the best way to do it? Or how might we do it differently? They're always looking for additional guidance and recommendations and really take those conversations to heart in making sure that, again, that they're making changes when needed and doing things in the best way possible. So, you know, we, again, really appreciate everything that y'all do. So now if y'all have any other questions, I'm happy to take them.
Mr. Rambo?
Questions.
Ms. Kudoff, do you mind going back to like the third or fourth slide, I think?
Let's see.
It was the one that talked about the differences in the years. Anyway, there was something on there about, so there were some big expenses in FY19.
Yep.
There you go.
Yeah.
So there was the $2.6 million in FY19 for legal settlement. Which legal settlement was that?
It was ParkWest.
Okay. So is the large legal settlement that's looming over our heads, where does that show?
It's not.
No worries. She's only reporting what has happened.
Right. Yeah, but that settlement occurred in FY20 though, right?
Yeah.
Or the judgment occurred in FY20 and we had to put the money somewhere, right?
Cool. Based on the type of probability of the litigation, it would not be necessarily earmarked. Part of the unassigned, it's in there, but we haven't had to set it aside formally.
Understood. Okay, that was my question.
That's just in the fund balance.
I got you.
Any other questions by anyone?
No,
well, I will make my same speech that I make every year, although this one's a little bit better. We have to feel great based on Eric's report at the retreat and then this right on the heels of that. Here's what I say every year. All cities don't get this clean of a report. They don't. And to have no material findings is also, because sometimes they make you better. But we're doing things on a great level, and these are the things that get your name in the paper from a negative standpoint that we don't have. And I just wanted to say thanks to everybody for this. And like I said, this is as good of a report that we could get on a financial audit. And I appreciate everybody for that. Thanks. Mr. Santos.
Yeah, just a statement. You know, Eric, pretty soon we're going to have to expand that wall down there. They've got so many plaques on that wall because of the excellent work that they do. You know?
Yeah.
Okay. Good job.
Thanks, Emily.
All right. Thank y'all.
Okay. Moving on. Ms. Kartob, presentation of the fiscal year 2020 impact fees.
Yes, sir. This is a requirement. We wait until we do the audit to present this. What we do is when we updated our impact fee ordinance, we fell under the state code. And as a requirement each year, they want to know how much came in and what it's either been spent for or earmarked for. So you could see in fiscal year 2020, we received $210,000 in fire impact fees. And that went towards Fire Station 4, the expansion part. Because again, impact fees are for things that are due to growth as opposed to just pure renovation. So we use the bond and a portion of impact fees to do Fire Station 4. The municipal facilities and equipment development impact fees, we put some towards the public safety training facility and some towards debt service. We do try to, for our debt service and our capital projects, projects use different funding sources to augment each other. So in this case, we do try to not rely on one funding source totally for one project to give it some balance. So we always use a little bit for debt service. Recreation development impact fees went towards Carolina Park Phase 3, and again, debt service. And then transportation development impact fees came in just over $2 million, and they're going to Billy Swells for B, and then again, debt service. So this is a required piece, just showing that we are properly spending our impact fee revenue.
Do you need any action on this?
No, sir.
Any questions or comments?
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. That also is a healthy report for us. Can you imagine if we didn't have those fees? Yes, Ms. Rambo.
Ask a question. As a follow-up, could you please send us the revenues from each of the impact fees for the last couple of years? I know we talked about impact fee changes 7 or 8 months ago, but I'm just curious where FY20 impact fees ended up, as well as what we're on pace for FY21.
Yes, sir. I have this same report since we made the change, and I'll just simply forward those to everybody.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Item 7, consideration of possible action with regard to mid-year budget adjustments.
Yes, sir. We once a year try to adjust our budget for anything that is a large piece that is above the town administrator's area. And so this year we are requesting to do a mid-year adjustment of $5.7 million. So that affects three funds. The first fund is the general fund. Per our fund balance policy, we do a calculation that then sends money over to the capital fund for stormwater and transportation infrastructure. Based on that calculation, we need to send an additional $3.3 million. We also would like to recognize some of the federal grant revenue we've received, primarily for fire and police overtime, when, especially if someone is out and they have to pull another serviceman in. It's been quite a bit. We have already received the money. We'd like to recognize about $1.3 million of it. So then we will take that $3.3 from the general fund and we'll transfer it over to the capital fund. And there you see it split, $1.67 for stormwater and $1.6 million for transportation. The last item, so there's three main items. The last item is our debt service. We will be issuing a $10 million GO bond. Our first payment will be in June, and so we need the appropriation so we can make that first anticipated payment on that GO bond. The revenue is already there from the millage that you approved in September.
Okay, we will need action to approve these to then go to full council. So do we have a motion?
So moved.
Motion, a second. Is there any discussion on these items? Comments or anything? Okay, this is good. Thanks, and thanks for sending this out so we could see this. But okay, we have a motion and a second. All in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the next agenda item is a discussion regarding a request to purchase a parcel of town property located off of Shipping Lane and bearing TMS number, blah, blah, blah.
Mr. Chairman, I can, members of the committee, sure. Good morning. I can go ahead and take this one.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see here Shipping Lane, as I look at it in front of me, it's sort of towards the left side of your image. And as you approach the top of it, you'll see outlined in red, this is a parcel of land that the town owns. And at any time, you recall the process, any time someone asks, a member of the community, whoever, asks to buy a portion of town land, it has to go through finance committee to get your flavor on it. And then if you find it acceptable, we may ask for new information and appraisals and all that before it ends up at town council for final approval. This is what's being asked, and this is being asked by those who represent the towing company. I think that's Safari Towing, is that right, Marcy?
Yes.
Just underneath that red box, they're wishing to expand their operation. The condition of the property isn't great. It's jurisdictional wetlands. Obviously, any use of that property would have to resolve things like that. If they could be resolved, there's buffer requirements and all that. I'm recommending to you that we don't proceed with a sale, but instead, we'd like your permission to work with the property owner who's looking for more land to see if there are any opportunities for them to be able to expand their business into this property. And then if there are, to then come back to you and say there may be a way to help. We're going to have to go back and do a thorough analysis of that property to see what is even available for use and what's not available. And so we'd appreciate the opportunity to do that, do some more work on it. And if there is an opportunity to perhaps help a business owner to try to do something like that. So,
Yes, Mr. Rambo.
So one question I have is, do we know, how did the town come to own this land to begin with? It seems kind of random.
It was deeded to us a long time ago. I think the original purchase price I saw was like $10 or something. Is that right? $10.
Yes.
Yeah, $10. Sorry, Marcy.
That's a good price.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And but you can see this is back, I think, back in the 90s or early 2000s. The price is reflective of the condition of the property. I'm not sure there's much use or utility to it at all right now.
Yeah.
So anyway, it became our possession many, many years ago, and it's not a piece of property that has a lot of opportunity to it. The other thing we need to look at is, if you recall through conversations with Transportation Committee, there's one improvement out there that involves going through this area to help with interconnectivity. And so we need to go back, look at that too, to see how much of that involves use of this land in some way. I know it does in at least one of the options, because then we have to make sure that we don't give up the property, knowing that we may need it at some point in the future. So in other words, we have a lot of homework to do on our end, on staff's end. And but we wanted to bring it to you to know that there was a request, and to make sure you're comfortable with us even taking the time to see if there's a way to help the property owner.
Go ahead, Mr.
So I was just going to say, I mean, I kind of have mixed feelings. Like you said, I mean, you could see by the coloring of the trees just how wet that property is. I don't know what you could even do with it. So I have that concern about, you know, even if, yeah, because someone could pay into the wetland bank and mitigate it, so to speak. But I don't know if we should be doing that as a standard practice. In general, this is an economic development area, and adding something economic development to the tax rolls is ideal, as opposed to something sitting there empty. But with the condition of that property, I don't know.
Ms. Landy?
Question. So first, what is the acreage of this?
Gosh, you remember?
1.39 acres.
Okay, 1.39. And regardless of what it was when it was deeded to us, and I know we can't do appraisals out of the air or anything like that, but if it wasn't all wetlands, wouldn't 1.39 acres in that area be fairly valuable?
Sure.
The value when it was given to us was $41,300.
Okay, good. So the reason I'm bringing this up is just something to keep in mind if we say, yes, go right ahead and start looking at this. It would be great to think that as we know there's times, and I know certainly Councilman O'Rourke has brought this up, not just in Finance Committee, but in Economic Development, that if the town wanted to be able to purchase land somewhere for a project that would really make sense, it would be so great to have some money to do that. So one thing perhaps to keep in mind is, if we can go forward and if it is feasible to do a sale here, that we have a fund that's earmarked. I don't know if there's already a bucket in place, bucket's the wrong word, but earmarked for future purchases. So that's one thing to keep in mind. The other one is, I guess you're going to work with the potential buyer to find out what their purpose was, because they must be aware, they're right there. They must be aware that it's wetlands. So there must be some reason they want this, that they don't mind that, or that they're aware of it. So, yeah, I would think we would. Do we make a motion then?
I don't think we need one, but I do think that it's important to find out what we have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And not only I shouldn't use company names, but like a Newkirk or somebody to tell us mitigation type of things so that we can maximize the land. But we're going to have to do surveys. And I would strongly recommend that we do that so that when we have a discussion, we can know the land that we have. The other comment that I have, I wouldn't sell anything, period, not in this town. And there are lease options. There are long-term lease options. There are ways that we can see a return without needing to give up really anything. Also, from a if this has more value than $41,000, which it may future, you know, that goes towards assets that help us with bond ratings and things like that. So this is one community where might not want to quickly make a decision to sell very much of anything, but I don't think we can even have the discussion until we know what we have. So I think, you know, you don't need us to give you permission to do that, but it would be good if, as you do that, bring it back and we can figure out, just have a discussion about it, I guess. But thank you for bringing that to us. Yes, Mr. Santos.
I want to say I agree 100%. I mean, we need to look at it and see what we have.
See what we got.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. The next item is adjournment. Great meeting. Thank you, everyone.
It would be very valuable.
So did you go about the camera again, after all?
Couldn't remember the $10. I could only remember the $41,000. I thought, that's not right.
I shouldn't have put you on the spot.
That's okay. It's my bad memory. Yes, ma'am? Oh, okay.
Right. Monday afternoon.